guys, welcome back to Time with Tracy, and this is your girl Tracy here back again on Tuesday 5:30 p.m. right and only on UMFM. I'm so glad to be talking to you again, and of course, as always, I just wanted to check in with you guys, see how you're doing. Please don't forget to check on your mental health. You know, even if you haven't done it in 2 weeks or in 3 days or in 1 day, just take this moment as I speak and just check in with yourself, see how you're doing, ask yourself, you know, how am I feeling mentally, how am I feeling physically, and you know, because I've talked about it in past episodes, you cannot know if things are okay unless you check in with yourself. So just check in. I hope you're doing okay, and we are just going to jump right into it because this week is a very special topic. It, you know, concerns like a disorder, but at the same time, it is something that someone can experience and not in, let's say, the extremes of a disorder. But the way I'm going to talk about it today, I feel like we all, you know, need it, and there are some specific people who probably need it even more, but this is your chance, and I hope you guys love this episode. This episode is going to be about social anxiety, which I know is such a huge thing. There are so many people, you know, this comes from like some people being shy or being fearful to talk to people. And as I said, yes, being diagnosed and all that is something that can happen when it comes to social anxiety, because there is social anxiety disorder. But also there are people who feel anxiety when they are in social settings, but it's not necessarily in form of a disorder. So this week we are just going to be talking about how to overcome social anxiety, how to deal with it, what can you do if you're experiencing it, whether it's a disorder or whether you have it maybe in specific situations or when it comes to specific people. So let's get right into it. Okay, first I am going to start with, you know, describing what social anxiety disorder is. I'll say that social anxiety disorder falls already in the, because usually when you're looking at the mental health disorders, they are kind of aligned in like mood disorders, anxiety disorders. So it does fall in the anxiety disorders, and it is essentially the fear and anxiety which leads to avoidance that can disrupt your life. And it is whereby you just feel like you can't handle being in situations. Some people call it, it's also called sometimes social phobia, whereby everyday interactions, this could be, you know, meeting new people, or this could be, you know, in a workplace, and maybe you're a person who works with, let's say, customer service, so you have to meet different people. So if such situations, everyday interactions, not like once in a while, but everyday interactions, if they cause you to feel like you have significant anxiety, self-consciousness, embarrassment, because, you know, you fear maybe being judged or scrutinized by other people. So that's where social anxiety disorder comes in. And yes, some people experience it to a higher level, while some people experience it to a lower level, depending on how intense, I would say, that you're feeling the social phobia. Some of the symptoms of this is, you know, feelings of shyness or discomfort in certain situations that aren't necessarily signs of social anxiety disorder. I would say for everyday symptoms, this could be fear in situations in which you might be judged negatively, when you are worrying about embarrassing yourself or humiliating yourself, fear of others noticing that you look anxious, fear of physical symptoms that may cause you embarrassment. This could be blushing, sweating, trembling, or having a shaky voice. Avoidance of doing things or speaking to people out of fear of embarrassment. Avoidance of situations where you might be the center of attention. Anxiety in anticipation of a feared activity or event. Intense fear of social situations. Then for the physical symptoms, it could be blushing, fast heartbeat, trembling, sweating. You could even have an upset stomach or even nausea. You could have trouble catching your breath, dizziness, muscle tension. Then when it comes to like avoiding social situations, interacting with unfamiliar people, attending parties or social gatherings, going to work or school, you might have fear, you know, starting conversations, fear making eye contact, fear dating, fear eating in front of people, you fear using public restrooms, and so many other symptoms fall into this. But I just wanted to clarify, because I know as you listen to all these examples, you might think, oh, this seems like something that I have done. But when it comes to like a disorder, I would want you to think about it as something that's like more extreme. Because I would say personally, of course, there are times where I feel shy or where I would feel like I don't want to be judged or I don't want people to think of me in this specific situation. But I would say that that doesn't happen all the time, and it doesn't happen in every situation. So for it to be considered a disorder, it must be happening in so many situations. It must be disrupting your life. For example, you know, you don't want to get a, maybe you have all the job opportunities that you're getting are jobs whereby you have to be talking to people and all these things, but you turn down all the jobs because you cannot handle, you know, talking to these people at your workplace. So it's disrupting you from you obviously making some money to live off that money, parent and all this stuff. So that's what I mean. Although when I'm discussing this specific episode, I'm going to be talking about how to overcome social anxiety. So I'll talk about it in a form of overcoming it as a disorder and at the same time overcoming it whenever you experience it, because I would say, you know, social anxiety does happen depending on the different situations. Even me, sometimes I feel it. So I'll be talking about also how to overcome it, even for a person who doesn't necessarily have the disorder, because it's something that can still happen to all of us, depending where we are. I'll just dive right into the different ways, you know, according to the research that I've seen or according to maybe in podcasts that I've listened to and all that stuff. For social anxiety, you can also actually use self-help strategies when it comes to social anxiety. So this could include relaxation, maybe meditation. It could also include exposure to feared situations. So I'll give an example. Are you a person who, even if you know the answer in class, right, you won't give it because you can't handle, you know, when you put up your hand and everyone is like kind of looking at you and like waiting for you to say something? So exposing yourself to a feared situation could be, you could start with a small thing. Maybe you've been put into group work. It could start with you contributing during this group work, and then you might feel better because there'll be a smaller number of people. Then you might go on into a classroom. So exposing yourself, because I don't know if you've heard about it, but there is exposure therapy, which actually works and it has been proven to work, and which is something that I would say even when you go to a therapist, it's something that they will use, because when you put yourself in these situations that you fear the most, you kind of come up with ways to overcome them. Because I'll say, if you're a person who doesn't love going to parties, you might go to your first party and you will decide that, hey, if I go to a party with 3 friends, I think I feel much better. So you see, the only way you could have found that out is by exposing yourself to that situation that you feared so much. Which comes to my next point of get yourself out there, which is literally what I have just explained. You know, as if you see that you're suffering from mild to moderate, which I was talking about, you can always do something about this by like going, putting yourself out there. It could be getting involved in a club. It could be getting involved in an association or volunteering and all this. And another thing is, if you feel like this social anxiety is extreme, because as I said, I'm explaining it in two ways, of it being a disorder and of it being something that happens once in a while from time to time again. But if you feel like it's something that's really affecting your life, do not wait until tomorrow or until next week or until there's a crisis. Please feel free to ask for help. Even if it's not just from like your doctor and you're feeling maybe a bit embarrassed, to talk to your doctor, there are always mental health helplines which could give you so many different tips, because these people are professionals who have been trained and they do have the information and they have the knowledge. So feel free to ask for help, because when you ask for help, you'll get officially diagnosed. And sometimes, obviously, when you have a disorder, yes, there are so many therapies that could work. But when you're working with a mental health professional, after talking with you, they'll get for you a program that is going to work and is cut out especially for you. So please do not feel afraid to ask for help, because it will make you get better in any situation. Next, another self-help idea that I saw so much when I was, you know, looking for how to overcome social anxiety was keeping a journal. So keep a journal so that you can see how much you've developed or how much you have improved according to like how you're gauging yourself when you realize that, hey, I want to overcome social anxiety. Writing about your thoughts and your experiences actually helps you recognize how you can get better, or it can actually make the situation seem less, I would say less big, because you have put it down in a book. I have had, you know, different situations whereby my friends have been like, oh, when I wrote down what I was feeling, it helped me put it into perspective, and it helps you, you know, keep track of the habits that you're trying to stop. Because I'll give an example, if you're a person who you can't handle a social situation because maybe you are always talking negatively and thinking negatively about the situation, you know, keeping a journal would help you, it helps your brain remember not to speak negative thoughts. If you're writing down this like every day, you're like, you know, remember to think positive thoughts, remember to take the situation as it comes, not to just blow it out of proportion. This kind of re-stimulates your brain every time and can help you, you know, work on different social anxiety or situations that bring about social anxiety. The next is improve your health. So improve your health means, you know, eat right, get some sleep, get some rest, exercise, meditate, do some breathing exercises, because as we all know, physical health also contributes to mental health, just as the same way as mental health contributes to physical health. Next is set goals. And I know most people have heard of, you know, I think there's like an acronym which talks about, you know, setting a specific goal, be clear about, you know, short-term goals, long-term goals, and all these things. And we are humans. I think humans have this thing. Not I think, actually, we have studied it. For those who have done psychology, I'm sure you've studied it, or whereby humans have this thing whereby they love reward, and it can be a reinforcement when someone sets a goal for themselves. So this could be, you could set a goal and you're like, in this semester, I want to make 5 new good friends. And by friends, I don't mean, you know, you meet one person, you're like, hi, that's it, that's your friend, but you never talk to them again. It could be even making 3 new friends, you know, depending on how comfortable you feel. All that I'm giving in these examples are suggestions. Just look at yourself, get what you need, because you only know yourself, but you know yourself more than I know you. So that's why I'm just giving examples. So as I was talking about the goals, you know, set some goals. Be like, you know, this semester, I want to make 3 new good friends. And you know what? Sometimes making friends, you might make friends with the first person. You think it's going to work out. But after a while, you're like, I think our principles don't align our goals and all these things. And you decide not to be friends with that person, which is fine. You do have a choice to, it's your choice on who you want to be friends with. But, you know, set goals for yourself. Maybe the other goal could be, I want to participate in class for for example, every three classes that I attend, I need to participate at least once. So all these kinds of stuff, you know why? Because when a person sets a goal and they mean to actually, and I mean it, because that when you set a goal and you do not mean it, you're just lying to yourself and it only hurts you. But when you set a goal and you're really looking forward to like going through with this goal, one thing I know is that your brain will always be looking for like, how can I achieve this goal? How can I achieve this goal? Maybe this didn't work out. Let me try this. Maybe this didn't work out. Let me try this. So when you set a goal, it's like a constant reminder, and you set this goal and put a sticky note or put it in your notes somewhere. You can keep on reminding yourself about the goals that you want to have. Next is congratulate yourself. I'll say that sometimes, you know, when we have anxiety, we forget to celebrate even the small milestones. Yes, you wanted to, let's say, for example, you've set goals and you're like, for four classes, I need to participate twice, but you managed to participate once in four classes, which is like once in a month. I know it wasn't fully to your goal, but do you see that you have actually already participated once? So instead of you just sitting down and saying, oh no, I did not get a goal at all, I participated only once, I'm supposed to participate twice, but the whole point is you actually participated. So let me give you an example of how to break that habit of the negative thinking. So I have participated once instead of twice. What I'll sit down will be like, I'll sit down and I'll evaluate myself and I'll say, you know, this time when I participated, what made me participate in that time? Like, did I feel confident? Did I like the class that I participated in? Was I seated next to a friend which made me feel comfortable? So you see, instead of you just going straight to the fact that, oh, I did not manage to complete my goal, you'll go back and just look at it and be like, what made me complete the half that I did? So that in the next month, when you set your goal again, or in the next time when you set your goal, you will implement the things that helped you the first time round, and you end up getting to the goal that you have set. So always remember to recognize the small things. You know, it could be, you know, having said hi to four people at a party, or having said hi to four people at an event. All these things that are small will actually give you the courage to build and build and build and build and add onto the work that you're doing on yourself. So don't be too hard on yourself. I mean, next, this one, when I saw it, I was like, I don't know if it works for everyone, but you know what, you might try it. I saw, buy yourself a new outfit. And when I was doing research, it was one of the ways to overcome social anxiety, because they explained it in a format of, sometimes when you buy a new outfit, you get like a new attitude. So, but then I want to explain it in a form of, it doesn't have to be a new cloth only. Some people feel very confident when they buy a new pair of shoe, because shoes are their thing. Or you find some person, they feel more confident when they have done their makeup, or they feel more confident when they have bought that's a new dress, or when they have new nails. So whatever puts you in that headspace of, let's go, I am ready, you know what? Try it. It won't hurt. It might actually get you in a space to actually go out there and get yourself out there for something new. And sometimes this stuff puts you in a positive mindset, or they make you happy and keep you in a positive mindset to the extent whereby you can work on your social anxiety, or you can, let's say, go for what it is you want. The next one that I saw was start saying yes or start saying no. So this depends on who you are as a person. For start saying yes, I'll say there are some people, for them, the moment you say anything, you're like, can we do this? No. Can we do this? No. Can we do this? No. Can we go here? No. Can we try and do this? Maybe, do you think this would be a good idea? No, 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 no. And no becomes your anthem from January to December. What they mean by start saying yes, of course, it doesn't mean start saying yes to reckless stuff and get yourself in danger. Start saying yes is like, I would say, a phrase or a proverb to just tell you to try and be open-minded. Because when it comes to social anxiety, I feel like obviously you are scared. You don't want to put yourself you don't want to, let's say, get out of that box because you're comfortable in that situation. Maybe you're always comfortable because you're at home. And obviously so many times being in your room is your safe space, is your safe zone. But you going out sometimes, it might bring you some stuff that you have no idea about or things you did not expect, or you contributing in class, or you going for an event or volunteering in this experience, like all these different stuff. Try and say yes. It could be, this is also one of the things that you can actually put in your goals. You're like, you know, for each month, I'm going to say yes to helping my friends maybe plan an event or to see people. Or for each month, I'm going to say yes when my friend says, let's go watch a movie together, or when they say, let's go and eat dinner together. That's what they mean by start. And then for start saying no, are you a person that just, you know, are you like a pushover is what they said, or do others make unrealistic demands on your time and treat you poorly, but you feel powerless to stand up for yourself? This can also be a form of social anxiety because you don't want to be put in any situation which may seem like a conflict. But you know what? You have to take care of yourself. You have to put yourself first. If you do not feel like you're ready to go out, or if you feel like you need this weekend to yourself, you feel like you need this night to yourself, you want to sit home, you want to have a bath, you want to cook, you want to watch your favorite show. If that's what you want, stay at home and take your time for yourself. Start saying no. You know, sometimes we do see obvious situations whereby if a person is really shy, they won't feel comfortable enough to say no, or to say that, you know, I just need to stay home, I just need to be by myself and all this stuff. But you know what? Start saying no. Even if it means, you know, setting goals, and you're like, even if you're a person who doesn't want to start, like if you're afraid to start saying no immediately, I'll give you maybe a way you can do it. You can be like, even if you're talking to your friends and you're like, you know, you can put it in a future format. So it's like planning ahead. You think about it and you're like, you know, this weekend that's coming, I think I would prefer to stay home. So when you're talking to your friends, before they even bring up any plans, you're like, you know, this weekend I'm going to be busy, so in case anyone has plans, I won't be able to make it. So that's already a way you have put time out for yourself. You have avoided maybe any conflict that maybe would make you feel uncomfortable. So that's also something that you can use, because everyone needs to take time for themselves. Another thing is stop trying to be perfect. Perfectionism and social anxiety actually most times go hand in hand, because obviously you don't want to be put in any, let's say, bad situation, or in any situation that's like negative or is falling towards the negative side of things. Everything that you say and everything that you do does not have to be perfect. Sometimes being imperfect, you can find happiness in being imperfect. I don't know if that is going to make sense when you listen to it, but yes, you can find happiness in being imperfect, and it relieves a lot of pressure from you, because trying to be perfect is impossible. So when you're trying to do something that's impossible, imagine the anxiety or the pressure that you're putting on yourself. You are a human being. You make mistakes. You will like some stuff. You won't like some stuff. You might be comfortable with doing something. You won't be comfortable doing something else. Accept that you are an imperfect person, and you can and you are still beautiful even if you are imperfect. Next point is make changes for yourself and not others. You know, as you sit down, so many times we evaluate ourselves and we want to get better, but always keep track of yourself. And this can come in with like keeping a journal. Keep track of yourself and just see, when I decide, you know, that I'm going to the gym or that I want to work out, am I going because it's something that I feel like I would like, or something that I want to do, or am I going because all my friends that I talk to are going? Maybe you wanted to start eating something and maybe you've always hated it, but are you starting to eat it because all your other friends are eating it, or it's because you actually want to give it a try. So many times we overlook these things and then we get so lost. We get so lost along the way because all we were thinking about was other people, and we're not. So whenever you're trying to make changes in your life, just try to evaluate and talk to yourself and be like, am I doing this for me? And if that is a tick, please, please, please go ahead. And if you're not doing it for yourself, then maybe you need to evaluate the reasons as to why you're going through with a specific change. As we come to the end of the episode, one last thing I would say, well, not the last one, I think like the second last, but one thing I would say is start small. You know, social anxiety as a disorder, or as it happens in life, it can affect different situations. It can be affecting your work, it can be affecting school, it could be affecting your family situation, your friend situation. And sometimes it's so overwhelming to have to make a change, or to make like a huge drastic change, or like so many changes at a go. That's why I'm talking about starting small. You could decide that, you know, you've noticed that you're so anxious when it comes to like all these different situations, and you're like, you know what, I am gonna start with working on myself when it comes to like the social situations at school. You start, you tackle the ones at school, get comfortable. Then as you get comfortable, as you put all the stuff into practice and that you learned, you're like, you know what, let me go through with now, let me put it to work too. Let me put it to my family, depending on whichever situation you want to start with. Because as I said, sometimes making so many changes at a go can make you even more anxious. So if you feel like you want to start working on your social anxiety, you can definitely start small. Even if it's starting with just your group of friends, so that you can get comfortable, then you can put that into school, you can put that into work. Even if it means, you know, you don't have to join 6 clubs at once, it could start with like, start with one club, see what one club will like, how it will make you feel, what you will learn from there. It could be an association, start with one association, start with only going for like one event. Start small. The more, when you start small, you just end up growing and growing and growing. It's the same way as I mentioned exposure therapy. You will not be exposed straight to the big situation. It will start from like small, building you up for the bigger social situations. And lastly, talk back to the negative thoughts. Negative thoughts are derived from ourselves. It's technically you speaking to yourself. So why shouldn't you speak back, essentially? So whenever you hear yourself, you know, talking to yourself and you're just like, oh no, I cannot do this, or I cannot talk to this person, or ask, you know, talk back and you're like, why can you not talk to this person? You're just going to say, hello, how are you? Are you enjoying the party? Or if it's, for example, a work situation, but you're just going to ask the customer whether they are finding everything they need. So talk back the negative thoughts. Let me put it in a form of, when you try to reason with them, it kind of shows you that, hey, maybe this is actually not too bad. It's like, because sometimes when you just let the negative thoughts, you know, continue, it takes over, let me say, your whole brain. But when you talk back to the negative thought, it gives your brain reasons as to why you should go through with something. So obviously, we have come to the end of the episode today, but obviously there are very many different ways that social anxiety can be overcome, can be tackled, but I've given you some very good ideas, I think. So try some of these ideas, you know, try doing your research, listen to different podcasts. As I always talk about things of mental health, sometimes what might work for you might not work for someone else. So keep on trying different stuff and you'll end up finding something that will work for you personally. And with that, thank you guys for listening to me. I always have a good time making these episodes. I learn a lot, and I'm so happy to be telling you guys what I learned from my research, and I hope you love it too. See you guys next week on Tuesday, 5:30 UMFM. Thank you and goodbye.